Appreciate you.
Gary, I'm gonna switch to the lapel, Gary. As you know, we've been discussing for the last 4 weeks why forgive, and you know, and you think, well, why did we talk that much about this? Because it's probably one of the most critical things in our life to know about. Next to the forgiveness of God, forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You know, and from the very beginning of time, God, when he created everything, he created in freedom. Everything was free. Man was free. Everything was free. But he also gave us a free choice. And the free choice was, you can walk in my freedom, or there's slavery. Enslaved by sin, by yourself, by other people, by the enemy, by the world. As the Bible says, the world, flesh, the devil. You can be walking that, or you can walk in freedom. And of course, as we know, mankind, Adam and Eve at that beginning, and so forth, from then on, every person has chosen slavery because we've chosen to walk in sin. By the grace of God, he gave us Jesus so that we can be free from that and have that choice. And you know, if you read the end of the book, it all gets restored at the end. But at the very end, it talks about that he's going to create all things new. There'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. So he is going to restore totally that freedom, even though we don't have to wait till then to walk in that freedom today. And so walking in forgiveness is a major part of building that foundation. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians, which is a book in the New Testament, chapter 7. It says this: you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. No, God doesn't waste words. So he would not have said that if, see, I have fun making the green beans. he would not have said that if we weren't going to deal with that situation. If we weren't going to continue to battle with dealing with having to fight against being enslaved through people. And, you know, one of the main goals, if your goal as a person is to live a life of forgiveness, you have laid a foundation and set a great goal to have a very fulfilled life. If you want to walk, have a part, you say, how can I have a fulfilled life? Well, I will tell you one of the main ways is to walk in forgiveness and to learn to live a life of forgiveness. Over the last few weeks, we've been discussing, of course, those things. And the first week, we shared a little bit about just the negative things of what happens in our life when we don't walk in forgiveness, when we walk in unforgiveness. And then we asked, you know, like verses where Jesus said, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then he goes on and says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And we say, well, why did God say such a dramatic thing? Why did he say, you know, put so much on us? Because he wants us to deal with this. He wants us to realize this is important. It's not something just to sweep under the rug and think that's no big deal. This is a major, major area of life to walk in that forgiveness. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. This is one of the biggest ways the devil, the thief, comes and steals from you your life. Steals that sense of life is that we walk in unforgiveness. That is one of his major weapons. If he can keep you in unforgiveness, it affects every area of our life. It's not like it just affects one area. It's like, you know, Jesus warned his disciples about yeast. And yeast, those who cook and stuff know, you know, how yeast can work through the bread. You know, Grace has made some bread lately, and so she puts the yeast in, and then you got to wait for a while. You know, that's the same thing as unforgiveness can work its way through every area of our life if we allow it. So you know, he said that. This is important that we remember. In the second week, we talked about the fact that if you cannot fully experience God's forgiveness, it's like that you've locked yourself to people that you don't forgive. You've locked yourself. And you know, the thing is, is to realize that this isn't just true with other people. It's true with yourself. If you are walking in unforgiveness in yourself, you're going to experience the same effect as if you're walking in unforgiveness towards somebody else. It has the same effect. So it's important to us to realize and to make sure that we're not just forgiving others, but you're forgiving yourself. That you're setting yourself free, because that could be the same effect of you dragging around that unforgiveness, and it could be just you working through that. And you know, one of the main the verse we talked about back then, it was, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And how important that verse is to walking in forgiveness. The understanding of God's forgiveness helps us to forgive others. The understanding of what he forgave us. And also, the key is this, the word in, that it's only in Christ that we can walk in that. It's only when we're in Christ that we can fully understand what it means to walk in the forgiveness of God. Not just to walk in it, but also to receive it. To understand what it was. And I know we showed the video of the lady who was, the actor who was portraying the woman who Jesus forgave. And she said, because she was forgiven much, she loved much. So there is something connected to understanding God's forgiveness and your ability to forgive others. Last week, we discussed a little bit. You know, and one of the things that we have to, as Christians, the longer we walk with God, the one thing we have to be careful of is not to deceive ourselves that I had anything to do with this. Because we can begin to feel like we got some credit in there. You know, we could begin to feel like, yeah, you know, I'm not doing too bad. You know, I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing some good things here and there and stuff. But realize, no matter how good we really look, which realize the only goodness in us is Christ. It's Christ in us coming out. So really what we're doing is we're revealing him and letting him out more. No matter what, I had nothing to do with that. It's all by God's grace and his love. And keeping ourselves in that perspective really helps us stay healthy as a Christian. And last week, we discussed, you know, the fact that we're entering this time of year, and we shared that one of the greatest gifts we can give to ourselves and to those around us is forgiveness. The greatest gift, because basically the word forgive is to set free. You know, and when we're let others free, we don't have to be guards anymore. I don't have to guard that cell. I don't have to make sure that that person's still entrapped in my unforgiveness. I could be free. I can go on vacation. I can go take some days off. I could go do whatever I want, because I'm not having to watch and make sure that I'm holding that person in unforgiveness. But the key, which we talked about, the key to all this is faith. Faith in the fact that basically faith is trusting God. Simple, that's what it is. God, I trust you. I trust what you say. When we're saying, I forgive, we're basically saying the key that we're turning, that key is faith. God, even though I feel this person owes me, and I have a right that, in a sense, that they need punished, but I'm going to trust you with my life, and I'm going to forgive them and leave them into your hands to take care of that, and I'm going to walk on in that freedom. That takes faith to let go. And then, you know, the thing is, it's not, sometimes you have to walk down that path several times before you get victory in it. You know, it's not just doing it one time. Sometimes it can be. You know, we can train, and sometimes that can happen. But it's walking down that path and coming to a point where, God, I can trust God. God, I can trust you, you know, in that. We shared some verses about how we walk in that. And the first part of the verse was submitting to God. And James says, submit to God, which is really... And we shared a little bit about last week how that in this struggle of unforgiveness, really the struggle is, who's Lord? Who are we allowing to rule in our heart? Are we allowing the unforgiveness and other people to keep us and hold on to that? When are we going to say, God, no, you are God, and I shall have no other gods before you. I will not let a person... and unforgiveness or a circumstance or a situation become God to me. But I'm going to allow you to be God. And therefore, that's why he says in this verse, submit to God. God, I'm submitting to you. I want you to be my main focus, my main heart, my main life. And it says, and resist the devil. Because realize, whether you believe it or not, the devil wants to enslave you. That's what he did from the very beginning. He hasn't changed his plan since then. He wants to enslave us so that we will not have the freedom and have that relationship with God. But he doesn't stop there. He just doesn't say, submit to God, resist the devil. He goes on and says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So when we're in that, the whole thing is continually, if you catch this verse, it's relationship. It says, come in there and build a relationship with God. And anything that comes, tries to come between you and God, fight it, resist it, but keep pressing into God and telling God you want him, telling God you love him. And he says, and you will have victory. That's what it's saying in that. The last thing we talked about last week, it's in, there's a verse in 1 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, train yourself to be godly. You know, there's different things. I know different basketball, if you hear some different pro basketball players, how long they practice. You know, sometimes we look at these golfers and basketball players and people and we think, yeah, well, I can get out there and do that. But you don't realize the sacrifice, the training, the hours and hours. It's just, what we see is a moment in time on television. We don't see the sacrifice that they have given for years. I think, if I remember right, they said an Olympic athlete basically will spend 10,000 hours preparing for that one event. And so there's a point in Christianity that we can exercise ourselves to godliness, that we train ourselves how to respond and how to live a godly life, and we get used to it. You know, we mentioned about muscle memory, and there's things, they said there's some things, once you do it, you just know how to do it, like riding a bike. You've learned that rhythm. There's same thing. There's same things in Christianity, we can learn how to do it. This week, you know, let's say we've done all that. We got the victory, and then Jesus, and there's a, Jesus was telling this series, if you read in this chapter, it's in Matthew chapter 18. He was basically talking about heart attitudes and forgiveness and the church and was talking about that. And then Peter thought, you know, the apostle Peter, disciple, was sitting there and he's listening to all this. And Jesus talked about how important children are and that they are very special to God and how we deal with issues in the church and all that. And so Peter said, well, you know, he's listening. He says, but Jesus, how many times am I supposed to forgive somebody? You know, and Peter thought, you know, he said, he asked him, I got it up here. Peter says, how many times shall I forgive my brother who sins? Up to seven times, you think. You know, seven times and the number, you know, seven, that seems like a good number. If I can forgive somebody seven times, that's pretty good. I mean, to forgive them once is a big thing, but to forgive them seven times, I mean, that's next to God. I mean, that's basically, it's like, I mean, I'm guessing Peter thought this. I could think that. Thought, whoa, you know, seven times, that's pretty good. And then Jesus tells him, says, well, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, when that happens, you could look like this. It's like, what? There's no way. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it's like, wait a minute. Seven times. I mean, sometimes some of us, like, one time is a big deal. I mean, like, whoa, I've forgiven that person finally. Well, then they turn around and do the same thing. Like, huh, no, you know. And then like, seven times. And then Jesus says 77 times. Like, this is crazy. You know, how? How are we going to do that? There's an author named Jane Hunt. She wrote a book called Forgiveness, the Freedom to Let Go. And some of the things that she commented in this book, first, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice, an act of the will. And I remember last week we shared Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know how many ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Oh, most are good. For those who didn't, she was, back in World War II, her family hid Jews in their home and protected them. They were Christians. They were not Jewish. But they protected them, and of course they got caught and were sent to prison camp. And her sister and almost I think everybody in her family died at a prison camp, prisoner of war camp. And her sister died in camp, and so she had to work through this. But she said, "This is what she said." She says, The will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Basically, is that there's things, if we wait to our emotions, we feel like doing something, there's things life will never do and will never accomplish. But we, in our will can determine. Our will has the power over emotions. So I'm not going to wait until I feel like, you know, that I'm supposed to do this, until I'm supposed to forgive, until I'm supposed to act in love, until I'm supposed to, you know, balance my budget or whatever. I'm not going to wait till I feel like it. I know it's God's will that I'm supposed to be good steward. I'm supposed to walk in this forgiveness, and therefore I'm just going to do it. Another thing she said is forgiveness is not stuffing your anger. It is resolving your anger by releasing the offense to God. Just stuffing it is not forgiveness. Remember, the word forgiveness means to release and set free. So it's not just stuffing it. Another thing he said is forgiveness is not enabling. Sometimes you think, well, if I forgive them, they're just going to do it again. Well, you know, the one thing he said is doesn't mean necessarily that you give responsibility to irresponsible people. It doesn't mean you keep, there's trust and then there's forgiveness. But it is a sense that forgiveness is something really, if you remember the key thing, forgiveness is something you do for you more than for the other person. Another one is unforgiveness is a delusion of power over the other person. It doesn't give you power. We might think we're doing stuff and we have power on, but it's not. And the last one, which is important to remember, is forgiveness is not a natural response. It is a supernatural response empowered by God. We need God to forgive. We need him to have and be able to do that. You know, sometimes, Nehemiah, you want to come on up? Sometimes forgiveness, it depends on what you're wearing. And I don't know, how many of you went shopping on Friday? Anybody go shopping on Friday? Well, of course we went shopping. That's Grace and I's tradition. We went shopping. We even went to Columbus. Yeah, we went down to Columbus. We saw Pat and Jennifer down at Kohl's, and we went to see a movie and popcorn and everything. So, but you know, sometimes what we wear makes a difference. And you know, our attitudes, and there's the outside, and all of you, I'm sure in here, have different taste. What you think's comfortable, what you like, you know, what you don't like. And so we have that. But you know, there's what we wear on the inside too. And our beliefs and where they came from, and you know, and where we get what we wear from the inside comes from some of our upbringing. And it's not necessarily what you were taught more than what you were modeled. Because you're going to live out more what you were modeled than what you were taught. It comes from your circumstances, what you've experienced. It comes from friends, media. It could come from church. It could come from all kinds. Our attitudes in our heart. And there's a verse in the Bible. It says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So, you know, when we can, and I'll just show you, those balls can represent comments and things that happen in life, and it depends on what we have on. So, Nehemiah, can you throw those at me, like from here up? and so, you know, in what I have on, if I got this on, these things that happen in my life are going to stick more. Now, Nehemiah, can you walk about 10 feet away that way and try it again? You've got to have good aim now. Oh. Okay. Well, thank you, Nehemiah. You realize that this ball has more sticky stuff on it. This ball doesn't. You know, depending on who throws it, how close they are to you, Nehemiah, I'm sorry, come back up. I got that. How close they are to you, what it is that was said, because some things, what they say is going to have more sticky to your life than other things. You know, all these things make a difference. So throw those, see if they stick. So, all right, that's good anyway, thank you. So, I told her, I said, you could throw these at me, but you're not allowed to hurt me. Because I could see this passion in his eyes. He goes, here's the first one, I'll throw something at you. So I didn't know if I think I did tell him. But you know, the things that we put on, as you noticed, that thing stuck to that because of the material more than this. The same thing in our life. What we put on in our life is what determines what's going to stick to us or not. It doesn't matter how much Velcro tape I put on that ball, it is not going to stick to this shirt. You know, and that's the same thing with our life as a Christian, is that we could put on Christ. And by putting on Christ, it's going to help us to, when we start thinking 70 times 7, that's the only way that's going to happen, is to allow yourself to be prepared and to clothe yourself with Christ, that when things happen in life, that it just sort of rolls off. Now, in Ephesians, it says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. So that's a choice we have. And you might say, well, how do you do that? How do you clothe yourself? Well, you know what? Just as I am not going to determine what you're going to wear. I'm not going to be the one to decide your style, because all of you have different styles, what you feel comfortable with. That's the exact same thing here, is that there's no one style on how you're supposed to clothe yourself. There are certain ingredients in that style, but there's no one style. In other words, I'm not going to tell you, okay, this is what it means for you to clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning you're supposed to read a chapter of the New Testament. Every night, two chapters of the Old Testament. You're supposed to pray every day for all this list and intercede. And you're supposed to thank God. You're supposed to pray in tongues for so much. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. That might work for me, but that may not be your clothing. You know, your clothing will consist of certain ingredients, though. Your clothing should also always consist of the Word of God. Your clothing should always consist of the Holy Spirit. Your clothing should always consist of relationship. Your clothing should always come within the parameters of Matthew 22 or in several places in the Bible, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Your clothing should always consist of relationship with His people. If you are not relating to God's people, you're not dressing yourself properly. There's something missing. You're going to possibly, you're already walking in unforgiveness, if that's happening. You know, there's, and I'm going to, fire musicians, come on up, please. And the one nice thing about this time of season is that we don't have to worry about weeds as much. But, you know, coming in about 5 months, there's something we have to do if you want to have a nice looking yard. And it has to do with, at least some of us will deal with this, it has to do with that right there, which is crabgrass. There's this thing that's called a pre-emergent. Now, a pre-emergent, and those who farm, I think, put some of this stuff on too, it prevents weeds from growing. It's not, you don't put it on afterwards. This is something you do to prevent it from growing. And I am not an agricultural expert, but I can read and study. And so, you know, the key to this pre-emergent is there's an enzyme that keeps the seed from what they call germinating. There's something that happens that keeps that from happening in our life. And part of what we're learning is saying, God, what is the pre-emergent in my life to help me keep unforgiveness from coming in and germinating? Because you can live a life, as we just said, your life could be fertile ground for unforgiveness. Your life, the way you live, the way you were brought up, you know, stuff, you could just be walking around that anything that happens could bring unforgiveness and plant that seed. But Lord, how do I live a life, clothe myself, change my attitudes? What pre-emergence can I put in my life that will help this when the seeds of unforgiveness try to come, that it's not going to happen? It's not going to work. You know, one of the keys in applying a pre-emergent is timing. That is a key in timing. And the fact of making sure when things happen in our life, when those things, like Nehemiah, things are thrown at us, how do we deal with that? Right then. Because we could take it in, and we could allow it to start, but then it starts germinating, and it gets roots and stuff. Then we're dealing with a whole different angle coming at that. How can I do that? How can I have that? And I know, you know, we talked about clothing ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is, I think, a key element. And I'm going to ask if our personal ministry team would come on up, if we could go ahead and stand. There is a key element. And I think it goes back to a verse we've already seen. And it's found in Ephesians. It says, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. A key element, a key enzyme to keep the seed from germinating is that we walk around. When we walk in life every day, we realize, I am walking in the forgiveness of Christ. I'm a Christian because of the forgiveness of Christ. What I do and how I live, that I'm walking in that forgiveness of Christ. That is a key enzyme to keep those things from sticking. When we realize, Jesus, you forgave me, then I need to forgive others. You know, and we spent, like I said, 3 or 4 weeks defining what that means. That doesn't mean people take advantage of you and you let yourself be abused or a doormat and everything. But the fact is that we're building a lifestyle that we can walk in forgiveness, remember, for others and even for ourselves. And when you do something wrong, that you don't beat yourself up. You know, you don't beat yourself up. The faith is saying, God, you know, John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, cleanse us from all those seeds and all those things that are trying to contaminate our life. And so when we walk in that and say, God, if I do something wrong, by faith of what Jesus did, I don't have to go do 20 good works for you to forgive me. It's because Jesus said that he forgave me through Christ. So all I got to do is, Father, I trust you. Forgive me for what I just did. And walk in that freedom. Don't lock yourself up in all of that. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for forgiveness. Forgiveness that we have through Christ Jesus. We thank you, God, that that's who you are. You are a forgiving God. Your heart is to forgive, God. Lord, you even said in your word that you don't desire anyone, God, to be separated from you, but to everyone to be reconciled, to be with you, God, even as we sang earlier this day, God, to come to your throne in that freedom. And Lord, just ask this day that you would help us, God, know the forgiveness of you, God, that we might put on the attitudes and the right perspectives and the healthy ways of seeing things, God, as you desire, God. We thank you for your great love. You are a good shepherd, and you go after the one, God. We thank you for that, Lord, that you don't want us to be lost. And we welcome that, God. Help us to be a forgiving people. Help us to clothe ourselves with Christ Jesus. We thank you for that, God. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. These ones up here, if they're available, pray with you about anything you would like. If you're a guest here, these ones have been trained and they're confidential. They're not going to share whatever you're going to share with them, but they will pray with you, whatever. If you want to pray anything dealing with forgiveness, unforgiveness, you want to pray for healing, as we heard Lisa was sharing. If you want to pray for, you just want somebody to just bless you. Is it okay to want somebody to bless you? Yes, it is. That's healthy. You know, because you know what? You are so worthy to be blessed. God sent his one and only son to die for you because he loved you so much. So I encourage you, be free. Be a forgiving people. The world needs to know what forgiveness is and what freedom is. Mike's going to lead us in a song. And God bless you guys. And continue. Let this be a season of thanksgiving and giving thanks to our awesome God.
Boldly I approach.